Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, go ahead and turn over to Isaiah chapter 6. That's going to be our text. I know that I said last week that we were finishing up our sermon series on the call narratives, and that is my intention, but I have one more. I just have one more that I want to go through that just, you know, and I think it works. You know, last week we talked about as we were, you know, kind of discussing and going over how God calls us and how he calls each one of us. And we looked at examples throughout Scripture. And last week we talked about how he calls each one of us to be holy because he is holy, and he calls us to be his children and to let him be our God, and he calls us to depend upon him. You know, I think a lot of times we look for specific things that God is saying, you know, do this and do this and don't do this. And in actuality, in the reality of our lives and our relationship is that he gives us so much freedom. He gives us so much opportunity, and it isn't so specific. And so this morning I want to look at one very specific example of a calling that I believe reaches out to each one of us. It reaches out to our call to be holy because he is holy. And it reaches out to our calling to live a life that is worthy of the gospel, Paul tells us. Live a life worthy of the cross. It's a calling that reaches out to each one of us to really allow the facts of God and the person of God and the nature of God to truly change us, to truly give us that heart of flesh and take away from us that heart of stone. You know, as we live these lives set apart and holy because he is holy, because of the nature of Christ that we have and the forgiveness and the mercy and all of those things that Scripture tells us about very specifically, we share this unifying concept that is being called by God, being chosen and singled out. And regardless of what we believe about those things, regardless of what we believe about calling and about God speaking to each one of us and about him setting our lives apart, regardless of our beliefs, our perspective of God and our vision of God and our understanding and our encounters with God will define that unifying aspect of our life, and that is our call. So we must ask ourselves if we understand the distinct nature of the God that we serve. We must ask ourselves if we, what are the effects of that distinct nature? What are the effects of the encounters that I have? What are the effects of the calling that God has placed on my life? If you think about, you know, going back to last week, the fact that God says, be holy, be set apart, be different, be distinctive from the world. What has that done to us? Has that changed us in any way, shape, or form? What has that done on the inside? What has that done to what we love? Has it changed what we love? Has it changed how we treat other people? Has it changed what we spend our money on, what we spend our time on? Has it changed what we plan toward, what we allow to capture all of our imagination? Has the fact that God has called us to be holy because he is holy, has that changed us in a week? As we consider hearing God, should the hearing of God's calling be as distinctive as the lives that we live? The question is, should it affect us? There's things that affect our hearing God, and our mood or our background, our experiences, our beliefs, our personality affects how we hear God and his calling on our life. Whatever affects our hearing is between God and the hearer. But I want to challenge us with this experience that Isaiah has, an experience that changes his life and in turn changes a nation in time. Just to set the stage here in Isaiah, Isaiah 6, 1 through 8, occurs in about 740 BC. It's a time of turmoil. He was a prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah. He had the task of calling the people back to God and away from idolatry and away from idols. And it would not be an easy task. If you look at the calling that God gives him, God says in verses 9 through the end of chapter 6, he says, here's what you're going to say. You're going to say, you're going to hear God, but you're not going to hear him. He's supposed to tell the nation this. He's supposed to tell them that God has said, be ever hearing, but you won't understand. So don't worry, God's going to speak. God's going to tell you what to do. God's going to give you direction. God's going to inspire you with stories. And he's going to give you inspiration and strength, but you're not going to take him up on his offer. You're not going to get it. He says, be hearing, but never understanding. Be seeing, but not really seeing. You won't perceive what it is that you're looking at. Make the heart of this people callous. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Basically, what God's saying is that, Isaiah, go and do this, but it's not going to work. I'm just telling you, but do it anyway. So this is going to be tough. Now, if you're like me, you're going to wait for God to give you, have you ever watched The Price is Right? What do they always do with the first showcase? What do they do with the first show? If you're the first guy and you get to see the first showcase on The Price is Right, and you see it, oh, it's a camper and it's a set of motorbikes and it's a trip to Paris and that's the first showcase. What do you want to do? Do you want to bid on this showcase or are you going to pass? What do they always do? Always pass. If you're like me, when God tells you this, when God gives you this calling, you say, okay. I tell you what, I'm going to pass. I'm going to let somebody else bid on that one because that one's hard, God. And when the next one's always easier, next one's always better. What is the second showcase is always better, isn't it? I mean, if they get a camper and a set of motorbikes in the first one and they get to go to Paris in the first one, the second one's two campers and a fleet of motorbikes and they're going to go around the world in the second showcase. You know, the first showcase, you want to bid on yours? Yeah, I bid $9,000 on my showcase, Bob, or whoever the guy's name is. Second showcase, what do you bid? 14 million. You know, it's always bigger. It's always better. If you're like me, man, you're passing on this first one. Ooh, that's tough. Nobody's going to like you, Isaiah. They're not going to listen to you. But do it. Here's what we find. We're going to skip through. I'm not going to give you the quiz on what you hear, because obviously the crisis and everything. We're going to skip right to the commission part of the call narrative, because that's where we are. We're not going to spend so much time in the crisis. We're not going to spend so much time in the objections. We're not going to spend so much time in the reassurance, but we're going to talk about that. But the commission, where it happens and how we hear it and the nature of it is found in the very beginning of this, in the very first verse, in the year that King Uzziah died. You see, the first thing is that the king died. And for us to hear God, for us to hear the word of God, we have to understand why in the world did he say in the year that King Uzziah died? Because right there, he's challenging them with, look, the king has died. Now who's going to take care of us? You see, we've been praying for months in this congregation, in this country, about an upcoming election. That ultimately, I'm going to have people that are going to be, yes, amen. And I'm going to have people that say, he is ridiculous. He doesn't know. I'm going to have people that this is going to pass right over. And I'm going to have people that are going to be very mad because they're passionate about this. But ultimately, what's going to happen on November the 4th in this country does not matter. It doesn't. Because there's no one that can be elected to the highest office in this country that can affect my salvation, my eternal experience. Nobody. Oh, they can, maybe have an effect on my 401k. Of course, I have to have one in order for them to affect it. Maybe they can affect the price of Medicare or of insurance. Maybe they can affect it, you know. But really, you know what God is saying is that we are always looking for the next politician, the next king, the next governor, or the next ruler, the next boss, the next somebody to take care of us and to make this life better. And the fact of the matter is that once the king is dead, we're free to understand who it is that's really going to take care of us. You see, there were always, God's people were always waiting for another Pharaoh to come along that would remember the promises made to Joseph and to set them free. And nobody ever came. They were always waiting for the king to come along and to set them free. And Cyrus ended up doing those things. And Cyrus sets them free. And what good does it do them? Because you know what? After that oppression was over, the Romans were so much, they were proud to take the place and to reoppress. Guess what? Once one president's term is over, there's going to be someone else just as happy to come in and change everything and reoppress God's people. It doesn't matter. God's trying to say, if you want to hear me, the king's got to die because you're so dependent on someone else taking care of you, on someone else being the center of your prayers, and someone else being the focus of whatever it is that you're worried about taking place. Now, don't get me wrong. Go vote. I voted already early. But I stood there with my daughter and I helped her. You know, she helped me be a part of this democratic process. That is a gift. And it is a blessing. But if we're going to hear God, and if we're going to be changed by hearing God, the king has got to be dead. Because then it frees us to see that the king is on his throne. You see, once the king Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord seated on a throne. You see, once we understand that the political attitude or the setting or whatever is not the ruler of my life, once I understand that, guess what? I'm free to notice. I'm free to feast my eyes on the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. You see, the fact is that how we see God, for some of us, if we see God, will determine what we hear from Him. You see, if God's never on a throne, then He will never give us kingdom work. See, if God is not the king, then we will never be given any kind of kingly assignments to go and to do. If God is not an absolute ruler, then what He says is a take it or leave it. I tell you what, I'm going to pass on that showcase, and I'm going to see what you got next. I'm going to keep on passing until I can come up with something to do that really I like doing. Really fits where I am right now and kind of goes with the plans that I have. You see, one of the most tragic pieces of advice that I ever heard was after a son came home from a mission trip. He had gone and worked in an orphanage in a third world country in Honduras, and he saw the plight of people. He saw the plight of people due to an oppressive, ridiculous government. And you know what he saw? Because of an oppressive, ridiculous government and a failed economic this and that. You know what this young man saw? Opportunity to do kingdom work. You see, because when bad things are happening, when the economy's bad and people are worried and scared and all this, you know what? God's fixing to show up right there. You know, my favorite bedtime story is, and we talked just briefly, we actually mentioned it in our class upstairs, Elisha and the remember when he wakes up and the Arameans have surrounded him and everybody's afraid and because they knew where the Israelites were and they've surrounded him and his armor bearer his servant is afraid. He's like, oh, we're doomed. And he wakes Elisha up and says, what are we gonna do? And Elisha prays, and I love that. He says, God, open his eyes so that he can see what I can see. And I want to live like that, to where when I see the hills and the mountains surrounding me with my enemies, and I see nothing but trouble and nothing but heartache and nothing but all kinds of calamity about to befall me, you know what kind of heart I want to have? I want to have a heart that's full of joy, knowing, hey, God's fixing to show up here. They're either going to kill me and I'm going to see him, or he's going to deliver me and I'm going to see him. Either way, I get to see God in this. Woo-hoo. That's the heart I want to have. I don't have it. So I'm scared a lot of times, and I'm worried a lot of times. But if God's on his throne, then how we see him will determine what we hear from him. And if he's the king, he can tell us to do these things. But the most tragic advice I've ever heard, this boy comes back from this mission trip, and man, he saw opportunity in the midst of despair. He saw opportunity to glorify God in the midst of all of this, and his heart was broken for these people. And he said to his parents, you know, I want to be a missionary. You know, he'd been going to college for a couple of years and was getting ready to graduate with a degree that was going to put him in a professional profession. And he was going to start that life that he'd been planning, that his parents had been planning for him. And he was right there on the doorstep of that life. And you know, and he had a girlfriend, and they were going to get married, and they're going to have, man, life was getting ready to start, and it was going in the direction. And the only problem is that a king gave him some marching orders and broke his heart. And he said, I want to do this. And you know what his parents told him? You know what? You've worked all this time to have this career. Don't throw all that away. Don't throw all that away. Have your career. And then you can always do mission work when you retire. Folks, I had to stand there as I got that story relayed back to me. And because of the position, and I had to stand there and, wow, okay, I understand. You know, I'm weak so many times. I want to just say, are you kidding? That's ridiculous. That's horrible advice. With God's speed, send that man, that missionary, on his way. Because you see, he saw God high and lifted up. He saw him as his king. And when God is our king, he gives us noble and kingly and kingdom work to do. And it typically will ruin our life. Let me just be honest. It's going to ruin our life. The plans that we made, the ideas that we had, the savings that we put together, the life that we carved out. I'm telling you, the king will ruin it. He will. He'll mess it all up. But if he's the king, then what happens next will be universal. Above him, oh man, I saw him high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two wings they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. They were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. I typically don't experience that. I'm just confessing to you that the whole earth is full of his glory. You read the news. There's things happening in our cities that scare me. There's things happening in the Middle East. There's wars going on. But they're saying that the whole earth is full of his glory. to me, as I, you know, and I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm saying that word whole tells me it's inclusive, and full tells me that there's no room for anything else. And I'm saying that every square inch of the dirt that makes up this planet is filled to capacity with God's glory. Even in wars, political strife, and oppression, God is glorified because He does not compromise who He is. And who He is has changed the lives and the hearts of people involved in those situations, and they are rising above it. Oh, they might be being killed. Oh, they might be losing all of their earthly everythings. But you know what? They're still depending on God in the midst of some horrific circumstances. Glory be to God. I can't claim that for my life because I set it up real comfy. The whole earth is full of His glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Remember what He said at the very beginning in the year that the King said, no, I've seen the King. You know the dead guy? Not the King. I've seen the King. The guy whose rules that we followed, the guy who if He said jump, we jump for fear of our lives, the dead guy? No. I've seen the King. But as God's kingship is His ruler, is His sovereignty, like the sovereignty of the authorities that we have over us today. That's just for free. But this is what He says. One of the seraphs he sees himself completely different. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. You see, that's usually where we stop. When we're thinking about hearing God, that's our biggest obstacle right there in hearing the voice of God. Because we know all too well. And to be honest, you know what we do? It's what I do, and if you relate to it, then jump on there with me. Is I say, oh, I could never do that. I'm not good enough. I have sinned. Do you realize that, you know, and here's the thing. Let me just get real personal with you real fast, and then we'll end. Because number three, the experience changes us. That's number three. It's the Church of Christ sermon. I've got 3 points, and then we're done. So, okay. Here's the thing. I have been told by a lot of people that they really appreciate the ministry that Bicky and I do and are a part of, and that God has blessed me to be able to preach and all of these things. Do you realize that it took me years to be able to do this? I have been asked since Bicky and I were married to be in full-time ministry. Every church we ever attended, visited, sat in, whatever, at some point just by talking to people and teaching classes, getting involved, doing those things, and Vicky, you can back me up on this, every congregation we've been a part of as a member asked me to be in a full-time minister at some capacity or another, every step of the way. We've been married 15 years. I've been in full-time ministry now since 2000. You know why I didn't answer God's very clear, distinct kingdom calling? Because I relied on verse 5 as my escape. Oh, no. See, this is going to be tough, this job, telling people, living this life and being, you know, in the fishbowl and the microscope and all of those things. And so I said, woe to me. I'm unclean. I'm ruined. I can't. I'm not good enough. I mean, in that, I said, I know who I'm not a preacher. I'm not an example. Relied on this verse. This is our escape hatch. I can't go where God's calling me to go because I am unclean and I've seen, I know me. But then, one of these seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, took from the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth, and he said, see, this has touched your lip, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. You see, experiencing God, the change that happens is that He emboldens us to do what it is that He's called us to do. Remember last week, be holy because I am holy? Oh, I can't do that. I can't be holy. No, right. God touches us and He makes us holy. Those of us who fret over the lack of holiness that I can produce, that you can produce, guess what? God has reached down and touched us, that those tongs, that fire, that altar, Jesus for us. And He makes us holy so that He takes verse 5 away from us and says, you can no longer use this as your roadblock, as your mental, you can no longer do this to yourself because I have fixed the holiness problem once and for all. I've touched you and now you are different. Now you have no more reason to fear. No more reason to hide. No more reason to pass on this showcase and take what's coming up next. He said, you know, your guilt is taken away. And then I heard the voice. You see, when we experience God, we put Him where He is. And when we see Him as the King and the Sovereign, high and lifted up, then I heard the voice. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then this healthy perspective, this reality check of God puts Isaiah in the kingdom work, puts him in the battlefield, puts him where God wants him to be. He says, here am I, send me. When we get our eyes on God, not when we get God right, not when we understand Him, you know, because there's things in this scripture that I guarantee you Isaiah was really perplexed about. Well, God, what's up with the seraphs and why the wings and why so many and all this and what, and God, the robe part, I'm not really sure what that means and what that represents and your smoke and all that. Not an understanding of God, but when we see God, He is fulfilling the role. Everything He talks about here is simply the role of God in Isaiah's life. And I'm telling you, it's for us as well. The role of God in our life will put us to work. So the commission God is asking for us, once we see God, we will hear God. And the question then becomes, will we go? It's simple. Will we go? Now the question now becomes, and what I will hear and possibly get emails and phone calls and that's fine, and I welcome those, is go where, Shane? Go where? Where does God want me to go? Where He's sending us. If we look around, if we see God high and lifted up, exalted, ruling our life, we will see the need in the person at work. We will see the lack of the person across the street from us. We will see we will hear the calling to Honduras, or we will hear the calling to New Orleans. We will hear the calling to our patients or our clients, to our students, to our friends, to our family. See, we try to find out where before we see God high and lifted up. Because the King will give us no orders until He truly is the King. He will give us no kingdom work until He is the King. Because the decrees given by someone who is not the King will go unheeded. The decrees that are placed, the callings that are placed on those who are not in a position of authority or sovereignty will not be listened to. This morning the question is, will we go? For some of us, we have to see God. For some of us, it's time for us to see God in a perspective that maybe we never have before. high and lifted up, exalted in the place of a king, in the place of a government, in the place of a relationship, maybe whatever it is that the king of our life or the ruling authority, sovereignty of our life, we've got to put God there. Maybe that's where you are this morning. Maybe you've lived your life religiously enough and crossing all of the T's and dotting all of the I's, but God's never been the ruler. He's never been the king. He's never had the authority or the power to set your feet in a direction of His choosing. This morning, you can change that. You can see Him high and lifted up, whatever the king is. Can you see that today is the year, the day, the year that your king Uzziah, whoever that may be, has died. And you are free to see God high and lifted up. Whatever your need is this morning, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing.